traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
I show up to this animal hospital. My shirt's ripped. I'm fucking bleeding across my chest. I'm not even in shoes. My pants are off.
I'm sorry. Broly's above my head. I run in.
I go, take this dog. It's an emergency. The nurse comes running up. She grabs him. She runs back. I'm like, no.
What? Yo, what are the loud noises I'm hearing every night in the backyard?
Yo, what the fuck? Every night, either gunshots or fireworks.
It can't be fireworks. There's no fireworks in the sky. Is there turf war going on outside?
That's what I'm saying. Anarchists, bro. You got COVID-19, you got the protests, you got the riots, you got the looting. Who knows what's happening? Plus, you got that noise. What the fuck is that? Every 15, 20 seconds I hear...
What is that noise?
I'm over it. Welcome back to Impulse, the number one podcast in the world. That is a fact, by the way, so that we actually check the rankings. We're back up top, number one podcast.
Number one.
I can't make this shit up.
What chart?
All of them. Wow. If you're not subscribed, make sure to subscribe. We're doing a lot of great things. Got a lot of momentum here at the Maverick House. As you know, our videographer Andre moved out last week. He's still right there, though, recording this exact podcast. We did hire a new videographer by the name of Dwarf Mamba. Doing great so far, Evan.
How do you like it?
No card?
Yeah. I don't think we need one. I think it goes card. Right into the...
It's uploading straight to the cloud via Neuralink.
I appreciate your insights, though.
Nice. Also, I should mention, I talked to my colleagues here, my talent, my castmates. 2 out of the 3 of us are a little on edge today. Mm. He's one of them.
You're the other one.
I am.
Yeah, because we didn't sleep last night.
That's why.
I'm on night 4 of no sleep. I'm fucking on edge.
Yep.
Amara got her wisdom teeth pulled, and she's been, you know, having a ton of pain in her mouth, and so, you know, at sleep time she's not sleeping, and every hour she gets up to go to the bathroom, and she's like, "Oh, did I wake you?" And I'm like, "Fuck." And so eventually this morning at like 4 a.m., she just went home, but it just wasn't enough.
Oh, no, Mike. Oh, it was one of the, there's that noise.
Yeah, I heard it.
It was one of the 4 a.m. leaves.
Oh, yeah, but no, it wasn't a fight. No, it wasn't a fight. She just was like, "Yo, I don't want to keep you up anymore. I'm just going to leave and go home." It was very nice. But you were just getting home because Broly had a panic attack or
Is that why you were up? I was wondering why.
Yeah, it's been a fucking mess. What happened with Broly?
I want to get into it. Okay. Before we do, I want to say, like I said, something I said about saying it. We got a new member of the family. We got a couple new members of the family. So my girlfriend Josie loves horses. She's wanted a horse for the longest time. If you saw the vlog, you probably saw the vlog. We got a horse, 2 horses. And one of them is actually right over there in the garage.
Oh my God. Hey.
His name's Harley. He is an absolute sweetheart. He's super quick and a little timid. But he's a gem. Danny compares him to that of like his old house. He's basically used it as a tool only. So he knows how to ride. He knows how to function when someone's on top of him riding him. But he hasn't been loved properly. So we brought him here to the Maverick House. We're gonna give him a lot of love, and he's gonna be a super great horse. That way, we're moving to my ranch later. So for all the horse people freaking out, PETA, whatever, we're not keeping him obviously here in Encino. We're bringing him to my 84-acre ranch, barn, stables, 4 stables, huge pasture to play on.
So they got plenty of room in the back too.
Yeah. Horses are currently, I hate to say this, in the back, but
yo, what is a horse? Can we talk about that?
Bovine creature.
It is the strangest thing to just like look at a horse and be like, "Oh yeah, let me be symbiotic with you and get on your back and we'll go places together." I don't get it.
I'm gonna tell you something right now. I'm scared of them. I find myself a little bit anxious and nervous around them, and it's because they are such a massive creature. I feel powerless next to them.
They can do whatever they want.
Anything. I'm their bitch.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But you give them food, so like they kind of respect you.
Not yet. They don't even know who I am, bro. As far as they know, I'm just a guy who fucking
You're not my dad.
Stuck a camera in their face and brought a hot girl to play with them.
Yeah.
No, but we're gonna train them. They ride really, really well. Like I keep having these like wet dreams about me climbing up the mountain at the ranch on horseback.
Okay.
That's fair.
What part does it get wet?
It's more of just like, it was more just like an exciting vision that I had in my head while I was asleep. I didn't actually come in my pants.
Because you were riding a horse.
Yeah, that'd be weird. Cool. That'd be weird.
We have a history of strange wet dreams in this house. Do you remember? Weird. You remember the one that we will never speak of? Right?
You on a plane, right?
No, not quite. This one can't ever be spoken of.
Every dude has that wet dream story. You happen to have yours in Encino.
I still highly back my decision making on that story, but I'm not, obviously can't cover it. Once again, I'm in one of those situations where we can't talk about something. So I don't even know why I'm saying this, but
it's super cool. Super exciting. Unfortunately, fucking found out Josie's allergic to horses.
That's not even humanly possible.
Allergic to horses. She every time she goes around them, she starts sniffling and she's like, my nose itches. And she's saying it's because of the hay, but I think she's in denial. Bro, that would be shitty.
It could be the hay. There's like hay fever, right?
You can
get that in Ohio.
You can grow into an allergy, right? Mm-hmm. Like the older you get,
in or out.
Okay. Because like I also get, as I've gotten older, I get motion sickness now. Mm-hmm. I get extreme, like roller coasters. Mm-hmm. Loved them when I was younger. Still love them. But afterwards, I feel
nauseous. Remember that one in New York?
Felt so nauseous, like ruined my day.
I can't sit in front of like a big movie screen. Like I can't watch TV here and sit really close to it because when it moves so much, I get like.
You would have lost your shit at the VR playground we went to yesterday. Where do we even start with this?
I don't know. I wish we had like an expert on the show. VR is, we've talked about this at length before. I think VR is the next massive boom. I think it has been for a while. You had the weed boom and then you had the crypto boom, now the weed boom. And I think VR is going to be a massive financial boom. But we went to this virtual reality place yesterday in Santa Monica. We got kind of first access to it before they open up to the public. Yeah. Full on immersive virtual reality experience where you have the headset. You have the noise canceling headphones that just provide you immersive sound from the experience. And you're in this massive room that you do not get to see until after the experience is over. That's lined with sensors all around the room. It's massive. I said massive probably 15 times in the past
two seconds. It was massive. Like an 80 by 50 foot
Big room. Also, and you go in there and you have a pack on your back, which is the CPU, the computer unit. You've got sensors on your hands and feet. And then when you get in there, they hand you a weapon, which is an assault rifle at times. You can change it into a Gatling gun, a chainsaw for zombies, a sniper rifle. And like, I didn't really know what to expect going into it. Me and him, you know, had talked about VR a ton in the past and I'm like, yo, this shit's going to be cool. Once it happens, blown away.
Yeah.
I mean,
coolest thing in the world. It is one of the coolest experiences I've ever done. The gun that we were using recoils, dude.
What?
Dude, it really feels like you're shooting a gun. And
Oh my God.
It's so weird because in this place, there's two, it's an open space minus two cement columns that just hold the building up.
Mm-hmm.
But the program is programmed with obviously like spaces and walls.
So it recognizes like the space you're in.
Yo, we're sprinting around this place. And in the game, again, we see the pillar.
Yeah.
And in real life, we're running around. We can't see anything in real life, but we're missing the pillar by like 2 inches.
Very close.
It is so precise. Yeah. You run around a pit. Like Milton, actually, my boxing coach, who connected us to the people there, was playing and he got fucked up, bro. He accidentally ran into a wall.
Bad.
His nose up. Had to stop playing.
Yeah. Blood, oh my bleeding God. Like yeah. crazy.
Yeah, because he tripped. I mean, I'm going to be honest, it's kind of dangerous.
Does it like totally disorient you or are you like a...
Okay.
Do you know that you're in this space? I don't get it.
When you walk out of there,
yeah,
I think the more time you spend in it, and I say this holistically in your life, the more hours you spend in there, the less you will know the difference between where you are. I mean, when we walked out of their walls, we weren't sure.
Yeah.
But since we only played for a couple hours, it was only for 15 minutes. But when you start spending hundreds of man hours inside that program, I guarantee you, similar to what we've seen in movies, you will start to be able to tell less and less about the difference.
It is so realistic.
Like
V1.
There's multiple different game types. We played one where it's team versus team. And so it was him and Josie versus me and Amara and Hayden. somehow we got Hayden as well. Shout out Hayden, which was great.
He's probably a dog.
No, he's a dog.
He's great.
He strategy. Plays video of course. Games, so he strategizes. I look up, someone sniped me from the roof.
So there's in the game, there's an you go into an elevator and you push a button and it elevates you above the map. And then you pull out the sniper rifle and you snipe down
but
at other
still
people.
You're on the same level, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I think. What? That's where I think the motion sickness comes from. Because in the game, check this out. In the game, and everything you see, you're walking downstairs.
Yeah.
In real life, you're walking on a flat surface.
Okay.
A one level surface. In the game, you go up an elevator. In real life, you're not going anywhere.
You're just standing.
So your mind is telling you that you're either going up or down, but think about when you're walking down somewhere, you're bending your knees a certain way.
You feel it.
So you're doing that, but you're not actually going up or down. It's fascinating. And I think the only reason this isn't already currently like the biggest industry in the world is because the tech has simply not caught up to the
It's getting close. Like and him bringing that up is funny because ironically, the best part of the day was when the tech breaks down. So I'll be looking at Logan and he's normally like a Halo style paratrooper with the mask on and the gun.
Yeah.
And out of nowhere, his hands will be coming out of the sides of his head. And for some reason, this particular system we played on yesterday has difficulty detecting the minute differences in height of humans. And I think if you fall under a certain height, it turns you into a child.
Oh, no.
So both Amara and David were little pint-sized humans.
Oh,
and it was, we were just crying. I mean, there were parts of it where I was just crying laughing.
We've laughed in a while.
In a long time. Wow. But overall, I mean, the last game we played was a zombie experience where you have to escape from a rooftop and it brings you through the entire building and then you get back to the roof and you have to get a chopper, but the zombies take it over and you have to strategize what ammo you want to use because if you run out of Gatling gun ammo and you get a horde, you're in trouble. But very, very cool, very realistic stuff. And the one point I kept falling back on was the financial boom for that sector will be one when the tech gets perfected, and then two, and this will be the big one, when they move it into the adult space. As soon as these guys create an immersive experience where a fat, bald man, not too far from myself, can walk into a bar and pick up the hottest girl in the bar, and if the CPU guy next to him says, "Hey, that's my girlfriend," he can fucking crack his skull with
like
a bottle.
Oh, like GTA. Up in the game.
Exactly.
Imagine the power that you feel you'll have once you can just beat the shit out of the guy that's trying to get the girl you're gonna get, and then you go.
You bring the girl to the bathroom, and I think what they'll do is eventually they'll set it up somehow through some sort of automation where then they will join a physical unit that you can attach to your penis once it's erect, or someone out on the staff of the place can do it for you or something. I don't know what it's going to be exactly. So when you bring that girl into the bathroom, that CPU girl that, you know,
doesn't actually exist,
and she starts giving you head, it lines up simultaneously with the program, and now you're getting head in a program with an actual result of you coming in real life.
I know this sounds crazy.
Yeah.
But he is so right.
Oh, yeah.
Give him some stats in the porn industry, Mike.
The last time I checked, the porn industry was a $90 billion annual industry. So Logan will pull up what it is now. But that beats out NFL, NBA, and MLB combined, the league's annual revenues.
Annual revenue estimates as high as $97
billion. $97
billion
annual revenue.
Yo, I mean, this game makes you feel like the fucking man.
Oh my God.
Dude, when I'm out here just fucking copping zombies, I'm John Wick, my gun's sideways. I'm walking, I'm hip firing, just choo-choo-doo, choo-choo-doo. My dick has never felt bigger. I mean, you can ask Mike.
It's amazing.
I literally like walk different in the game.
I'm walking like swaggy.
Duh, duh, duh.
It's funny. And somehow still pulled the highest accuracy rate, even with all the hip fire going on. But I think it's going to get wild once they shift over. And obviously the money to research and develop is there. And so, I mean, it's perfecting the tech and getting new adult. But I think if you think back to Inception, the movie Inception, that moment where they go down to that basement and all the people are hooked up to the machine. Mm-hmm. And he says, you know, without this, they don't dream anymore. This is the only way they dream now. And I think virtual or VR is going to have those massive impacts on people's lives, where they get so tied into that system that they're unable to find joy and happiness in everyday life. I mean, we see it. We see a sliver of it right here.
Yeah, we're cyborgs right now because of that.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
The only saving grace, because I agree, I 9,000% know that this is going to absolutely ruin people's lives. You, why would you live in this fuckery if you could go in a game and kill zombies and fuck girls and be the man and the coolest person on the planet? Fuck a real life. It is so sick in there. But I think the saving grace is if they can keep it active. The fact that we were running around, really running around, like I was sweating, we were all hot. The room is cold because they're aware that people are like working out.
Until you get close to a fire where they'll hit you with a heat wave.
Wow, yeah, they put scents in yes. there. They'll put like smoke, aromas. Right? Yes.
Aromas, smells, everything.
Wind, everything. Wow. They'll put props there that you can like twist wheels and shit.
When you get onto a rooftop, the breeze picks up in the room and you feel like you're, I mean, it's crazy.
As long as they keep it active though, it'll never happen. They'll find a way for people, lazy people, to just sit down and like go like this and press a button. And there's a Black Mirror episode kind of like this. Absolutely. Actually, one of my favorites.
Striking Vipers?
It's called USS Callister, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Striking Vipers.
Oh, that too. Oh, where they're on the ship.
Yep.
And the guy on the spaceship.
Puts a little neural link on his head and he's in the game. He just thinks about what he has to do. But I think when people, I mean, what do inventions, what does tech do? It solves problem. Mm-hmm. The problem of like, yo, my real life is boring and I kind of don't want to like do anything. If you can get in this game, sit back and do nothing, people's lives will be ruined. People will be so addicted to this fantasy land that just isn't real life. So as cool as it is, we're also so aware of how dangerous this industry
could become. Could they like, could they like take you to a beach or a mountain forest anywhere?
Whatever you want. I mean,
that would be great. You know, if you could just sit there and sip a pina colada on the beach and like,
that's what I'm saying. Why would you not do that all the time?
It's coming. It really is.
Because you'd have to like, if you get a personal system, you'd have to maintain it and, you know, like have money to spend on your virtual reality machine.
Think about it. If you go to the bar in, you know, call it in 20 years.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
And you order a virtual shot of your favorite drink, you could have a suit on that gives you a quick prick of that level of alcohol. And so you don't, like you take the shot in your arm, you start to feel a little woozy. Now you're actually drunk in real life. So it's all meshing. All those experiences, I guarantee you, we talk about like these as concepts and ideas.
Yeah.
We are always 25 years behind on the real tech. Somebody's working on this shit right now as we speak. Yeah. In 20 years, you are going to be VR fucking some supermodel, regardless of if you're actually able to get your dick hard in real life. It's going to be it's actually all going to happen, and it's going to happen sooner than we think. I'm telling you, we're probably 15 to 20 years off tech perfection on this shit.
Tech perfection.
Yeah.
You just put on a suit, motion sensors everywhere. You're literally in the game. Your hands aren't coming out of your head. Mike's character in the third game. This is the funniest shit. We're all shooting zombies. Sick, bro. Halo outfits, Master Chief status. And Mike's character is walking around like this. Chest out, chest forward, ass out. I'm like, what's wrong with you? Sometimes a gun comes out of his head.
No, I thought you were gonna say the best part was, since I have size 13 feet and you know the foot sensors have to go around your foot, I pulled one of the loops too tight on it and my foot sensor popped off, and so in the game I had one leg. My leg fell off.
No.
And so for the remainder of the zombie game, I was walking around at first At first, when it popped off, we were in an elevator and my leg got stuck in the ceiling. Like, that's the stuff when you see that stuff and you're in it, even though you're facing hordes of zombies, the whole squad is dying laughing because nobody can focus.
Not to mention, last thing before I do my ad read, you can imagine how stupid you look if you're not playing the game. Like, people watching, four idiots running around with VR headsets and guns, just like, ridiculous. Yo, left, down, zombie, watch your back. Morons. Full grown men.
Easiest way to explain it is, I'm sure you have, obviously, but for people watching this, have you ever seen a silent disco that you're not a part of? And you just have a bunch of people dance like this, with their headphones on, and you're just watching them, you're like, what the fuck is going on?
And they're all singing. Singing the whole,
yeah.
All right, well, listen, if you're having trouble having sex in real life and
or
you can't find yourself a virtual reality girlfriend, you'll love BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com offers men a performance enhancement for the bedroom. You can get the first chewables with the active ingredients, sildenafil or tadalafil, same ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. The chewables can work faster. They can be taken on a full or empty stomach, and it only takes a few minutes to connect with a BlueChew.com affiliated physician. And if you qualify, you get prescribed online quickly. No in-person doctor visit, no awkward conversation, no waiting line at a pharmacy, and they ship directly to your door in a discreet package. They're made in the USA, and they give you confidence in bed every single time. You and your partner will love it. Got a great deal for you guys. Go to BlueChew.com. Get your first order free when you use the promo code Logan. Just pay $5 shipping. BlueChew.com, promo code Logan. Chew it and do it, baby.
Nice job. So yeah, that was one of the smoother ones.
I honestly think, actually, sometimes when I'm a little pissed and sort of like tired, I do better.
Remember when we used to do shows hungover? And we were like, these are easily the best shows. Yeah. Which now I think we've mastered the sober ones. I think maybe we just used to do so many hungover. And most of our shows are good that we were like, wow, weird. Like, statistically, this seems
to keep drinking.
To be hungover. Yeah. I hate drinking. I got hungover the other day and
Wait, what?
I got hungover the other day. I was on vacation.
Hit him.
What's going on?
Hit him, man.
Where'd you go on vacation?
The other day.
Where'd you go?
Where'd you go? Just for context, vacations, the ranch, and Coachella, he's allowed to drink. Other times, 2020 is sober.
Well, yeah, it's sober. Ask him.
Let's talk about it. Where'd you go on vacation?
We went to a restaurant.
Where was that?
Beverly Hills.
And you were hungover after going to the restaurant.
Yeah, I was on vacation.
What part about it was a vacation? I heard.
All right. Well, so because I know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
And I thought the same thing as you. I was like, vacation, right? Well, let's look it up.
Okay, look it up.
Define vacation. Yeah. So check it out. An extended period of leisure and recreation, especially when spent away from home or in traveling. So I wasn't home, and it was recreational. So yeah, I took a couple.
This is where like the logical Logan Paul sucks. Like, oh, let me find the one loophole in my entire disciplinary like act on myself to make it okay for me to drink one night. That sucks, man. I'm whatever. Like, drink a drink, but. Come on.
He doesn't even like it. He's so easily swayed, bro. Oh, we were at dinner and because I went on vacation with him to Beverly Hills. And we're of course I'm not drinking all of 2020. So unless I find a problem with the Mayan calendar and say it's not actually 2020, I ain't fucking drinking. So I'm still going strong. But we're at this dinner. And dude, this kid hates going out. He doesn't want to go out after dinner. Dinner's cool. We get to eat, we hang out for a little bit, but then you know, Josie's she's has a lot of friends here. Like, she likes to go out and she's be on the town, a social butterfly. And so she was like, you know, oh, there's this party happening at Nice Guy tonight. Everybody's going to be there. Hissam, Flim, Goy. I'm like, yo, you just named three names that aren't even fucking names. You know very well that Catery,
Gerb,
Hissam, the whole squad. Hissam, which is like the sound a snake makes. Like, I'm just like, what are you saying? And so she's like, yeah, man, everybody's going. I look at Amara, and Amara is the exact opposite of Josie. No, neither of way is right. Like, whatever you want to be. Uh-huh. I'm not passing a judgment, but she's the exact opposite. I look at Amara, and Amara's just like this. Yeah. Bring me home, give me a big TT. That's what she calls it, a big TT after she eats a lot, and some ice cream. I want to lay on the couch and watch movies.
Wait, like actual
TT? T-shirt. Like a t-shirt. A big I want to put on a TT.
The biggest t-shirt you can find.
For sure. And so that's what she wants to do. But he's obviously an incredible boyfriend, very, you know, giving to his lover.
I will say, I also wanted to go out.
Oh, you did that night? Okay, yeah. Okay.
Just like, I haven't been out in so long. Like, I really do miss being social.
Yeah.
And this, it was nice. I wanted to go.
Because when I first got you there, when we were dropping you off, I was like, you know, we're just going to go home, you know, kick it, watch some TV. I mean, you guys could smoke out of the Rick and Morty bong I just bought you. And you, I saw your eyes lighting up. And then Josie was like, come on, Logan, let's go in.
Because I also find as I'm growing up, like I'm becoming more of an introvert, I think. I just think like as you get older, you can pinpoint the things you want in life. Mm-hmm. And being able to do that has made me realize also what I don't want. And although this particular night, I did want to go out, but yeah. I mean, y'all know this. Our circle's really tight. Our circle's one of the tightest, I think, in LA.
Absolutely.
Like, talk to any TikTok house, vlog group, friends online. Most of them are dysfunctional, like in real life. Spoiler alert, some of these people have beef within the group. It's not always a well-oiled machine.
It's hard.
Yeah. Like, we really like each other. And so I'm not always looking for, like Jake said, no new friends type shit. I'm not on the wave, but also no new friends.
Yep.
So I tend to stay inside if given the opportunity.
We've been, like, also trapped inside for 3 months. So you have to imagine that some sort of conditioning has happened where you're not, like, wanting to go out.
It's so true. You know, that's such a good point.
Make new friends at all.
Because, you know, I used to be obsessed with it. I would be out at Hyde every night, you know, doing that whole thing.
You'd go even when you weren't drinking.
100%, because I was literally addicted to it. I felt addicted to it. Like, we would go to dinner and people would be like, yo, Hyde's gonna pop off after this, man. Fucking Ghost of the Gram got 52 bottles of Ace coming out. And I would just be like, damn, Ghost of the Gram's gonna be there. I gotta fucking go, dude. I'll be like, damn, I wonder who's gonna be there. But why would I wonder? Because the same fucking people every fucking time. And you just stand against the wall, you're sweating, you're like, this is so fucking fun, until you step back and realize it's not at all.
I'm not surprised that you like to go out, but I thought you'd get your partying out of the way. But I'm always like, okay, Logan still has a lot of partying to go to. I did all mine in college. You know, like I got mine out of the way, right? But you never went to college. You never partied in college. That's like when you have your
not only that
party
time. I didn't party in college. I didn't party the first 3 years in LA. I was wild. No party, no drink, no smoking. It just insane. Like head down. And so now I'm like, I'm pretty comfortable. And I'm also really big on balancing work and play. Like I really like balance is huge. If I don't recover, rest, have a little fun here and there, I will implode.
Yeah.
I mean, I say this all the time. It's just like, I like being able to work hard and play hard. And I do.
Yeah. And I think the way you've started playing has been much more helpful in your career. Similarly to how it has for mine. Yeah. Like, it is no anomaly or random situation that people are making videos about how you're going to be the most successful person in the entire world ever, you know, like this year, because of our decision to stop fucking around, even more importantly, to get 7-8 hours of sleep a night.
Yo, that's like the biggest part. When you guys go out, you go out until 4 a.m. and then you go to the after party and then you get home at 7 or 8.
Horrible.
Not always, but that's typically what happens. And then you're screwed for the next 2 days. And then you wake up on Monday and you're like, wow, my life sucks.
I always said that it was never the hangover that was messing me up. It was the lack of sleep.
Yeah.
Like it was the fact that I was getting 2-4 hours of sleep a night. Now when I get my 8 hours of sleep or 9 or 7 or whatever, I wake up, my anxiety is reduced. I'm ready to get the day done, exercise at the end of a long day, still have the energy for that. And everything's is moving, you know, as it should be, but,
not blacked out on a Tuesday.
Yeah. It's yeah, exactly.
The hangovers fuck me up. I'm not, some people just aren't good with them. Jake's not good with them either. Like I'm almost crippled for the entire day.
Do you do any like hangover prevention the night before? Or do you I do
this night wasn't, so
crazy.
Yeah. Like normally I'll do, like two shots full bottle of water. We got kind of sidetracked. Josie and I were dancing. I like dancing.
Yeah.
You know, she likes dancing. We're dancing.
If you could do one water per drink, you probably can eliminate a hangover the next day. You might be like, perfect.
I always wake up to pee. Yeah. But you haven't been drinking.
That's why. 5-6 shots though. But I should not have been hungover. I'm a bitch, bro. But to be honest, I'm a pussy.
Well, you're back. You just got back into it too. Your tolerance is extremely low when you take. I mean, when you take a decent amount of time off.
Call me a lightweight.
It's not a problem. Man.
Not a bad thing.
Save money. Save time. You know.
I hate to upset the the red solo cup drinking tailgaters that watch the show, because I know there are a lot of them. Shout out to those people. Like, I've been one my whole life. Oh, yeah. This concerts. Is just this is just the new. I don't try to tell people how to fucking live. This is just who I am now and how I choose to live my life.
You're a best-selling author, dude. Like, when you walk in a room, people look at you. You're not the drug addict anymore. You're not the social media star. I mean, you are, but you're primarily a best-selling author. How many copies of your book sold? 50
thousands
60
and thousands. It's honestly like it's been a shock to me to see it all over the world. That's been the craziest thing.
Oh,
I think.
Seen it on your stories.
Just posting on my story. Every time someone tags it in
Portugal, Iceland,
Turkey,
Dubai, India. Malaysia. Like, how is this book getting to those countries? And the people are finding so much they just find it exciting. Like, either some people are reading it for that hope because they need it, and other people are just reading it saying, yo, this is a screenplay for a movie, which it is. It's not a book. This should be a fucking movie. It's so action packed, so intense. And the thought has to be like, how the fuck did you even live? And we've obviously talked
about
it.
What if you made
a
VR experience of your book?
No, absolutely not, dude. Wow. I don't want anybody else to go through that shit at all.
I mean, it'd be tragic. It'd be a crash course in addiction.
Speaking of crash courses and also the new going out trend that is happening. Yeah.
Got some bad news, huh?
Some bad news coming in from Arizona. And this is right on the heels of me, bringing up the people that had called the coronavirus a political hoax. Arizona cases are skyrocketing right now.
The coronavirus outbreak in Arizona is going very badly. This is Business Insider.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
The accelerating spread of COVID-19 is caused primarily by the virus, is directly related to the state's easing of coronavirus restrictions. 25 states in Puerto Rico have seen infections increase by at least 10% in the past 2 weeks. And so I saw a stat yesterday that they are actually growing at a rate that is 3 times what New York State was growing at on the initial wave, which was the hardest hit state in the country. And so, I think I made some lighthearted humor about the people who called it a hoax on a couple episodes ago. But this is no fucking joke, dude. Like, Trump has obviously talked a lot about how the Democratic states have been hit the hardest, and all of this, political agenda that has, and not just him on both sides, but all the political agenda that has happened around the coronavirus, when in reality, I don't want to hear from Donald Trump. I don't want to hear from any pundits on this shit. I want to hear from the doctors who have the statistics since day one. I don't care what anybody else has to say about it. I don't believe there's a political gain to be had by a doctor reporting the statistics. And this does not look pretty. We've seen Arizona, which is where Jake was, which is where the partying has already kicked off. You can go to, massive festivals bars there right now. Bars are all open, no masks required. And we're now seeing the consequences of that action.
That's insane.
This is the second wave.
Which is supposed to be way worse.
I read comments, people call me crazy when I said there was going to be a second wave. How could there not? It makes perfect sense. How could there not be a fucking second wave? Don't be an idiot. Especially because, and I hate to do this, we have not been given and graced with good leadership. And I seriously think we're running around like chickens with our head cut off.
Absolutely.
We have no idea what to do. We have no idea how it spreads. We have no idea how to stop it.
And the idea is we do get to stop it. And this is a sideline point. Trump was touting hydroxychloroquine. Hydroxychloroquine, which is the malaria drug. I can't remember. Yeah. He authorized a federal or an executive order to speed up production of this drug, and the FDA just revoked it and said, this drug doesn't do shit to fucking help you at all.
That ain't one of the ones you just like fuck around with. That can kill
you. Because it fucks you up.
Yeah.
It can fuck you up. And so the feds halted the emergency use of coronavirus drug. So you got, and I, once again, I don't want to blame just Trump, but you've got one person saying one thing, then the doctor saying that ain't true. And then a state governor says, fuck this, we're reopening. Then the state goes under. It is a mess, just like everything that's been happening with the other problem in the country. It's just unorganized disaster.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Do you think as the leaders, as the authorities of this country, do you think their action plan is like knowing that they know nothing about this, they don't know shit about shit, and they aren't sure how it spreads, what the best course of action is. Knowing that, which they do, we don't. We're like finding out now that like the people we're listening to actually don't know anything.
Yep.
They thought it would be a better idea to just tell us information that may or may not be true versus saying we're unsure of this. Let's handle it with caution and then proceed accordingly.
1,000%.
Just make up just to get some people believing in doing something. Right?
There has never in my life that I can remember ever been a time where people were in such a rush to be right about anything, whether it's Trump, whether it's the government, whether it's the feds, whether it's whoever it is, everybody wants to be right. And people will go extraordinary lengths right now to not be wrong. Trump got this wrong. This drug ain't gonna work. Ain't gonna work. But do you think he's in a rush to talk about the fact that he got this wrong? Hell probably no. He's not gonna try. What he'll try to do now is be right about something else real quick. It's a fucking messy place that we're in. Social media amplifies it.
Yeah.
Because he could so quickly tweet, hey, he might have got information about chloroquine, from one person. Yo, we just got some independent reports back that this drug is actually killing the coronavirus. Yeah. He might go, open Twitter. I have found the solve for this disease. Boom. Boom. That quickly. Because he's in such a rush to be right. That's just like so many other people.
No one's fact checking. No one's doing the research. I mean, that's the hard stuff. How do you actually find the things that work, and how do you get that information to someone that can share the information to publicize it to the entire world? Like, it's a long process.
Bro, Gen Z, millennials, we getting frustrated. We getting real fucking fed up with this shit.
Because we know how to do those things, right? Like, you see a tweet, you see something online, you're like, I don't know if that's true. And then you can look it up on Google really fast to find out if it's true. We know how to do that, like, yeah, with ourselves. But
still, grain of salt when anything on the internet. I'm just saying.
No, for sure.
It is getting frustrating. People want to go out. People want to shake hands. People want to give hugs. I see people who won't touch me, look at me, let alone touch me.
Yeah.
I see people who will shake my hand and refuse to wear a mask. Disorganized, unsure, uncertainty. But it's scary.
It's been so messy too, because like you would think, okay, we've got a deadly disease out there that's killed over, 100. Is it 200,000 people now? I can't even remember, but over 100,000 people at least. Would the right thing to do be to err on the side of caution? At least individually. I understand that individual states and the federal government wants to reopen because we are taking a pounding, as is the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. But from an individual standpoint, I would assume everybody would want to exercise caution and err on the side of caution. And this even goes against me. I got pictured walking down the street without a mask on the way to catch the other night. And, given there was no one around us, it was a straight shot into the restaurant. Yeah. We put our masks on as soon as we got in, which was required of us. But I mean, maybe I don't know. That's the thing. Like, should I have a mask on right now?
You looked great in the picture, though.
I looked like I was ready to suck a dick.
Is there anything going to happen between the car and the front door that someone opens for you?
I don't know.
Like, are you breathing in air?
Why?
Look at that. You guys are on the internet.
Why does my face look like that, man? I mean, like, look at all three of you guys look so good. And I you could put a dick right in it. What?
I think you even have your tongue in your cheek, too.
I think you should do that for all your paparazzi photos.
Yeah.
Like, just make that face. Like, you're constantly saying, like, whenever you walk by the paparazzi, just do this. Oh.
your face looks slim, Mike. You've been doing something
new? I've been trying to do better. I mean, I bought a new bike. I've been riding that. But yeah, I mean, see, and Logan was the only one with the with the fucking mask on.
That is so weird.
How the fucking tables have turned.
That's Golden Boy.
Wow. Yo, that's I feel good, man.
You crushed it.
I feel good.
But you didn't have the Maverick logo on the outside.
Bro, I flipped
it. Yeah, what happened with that?
I flipped it.
Why?
Anytime I go out in public and I am in contention for any controversy, i.e. not wearing a mask, I don't want it to be tied to my brand. I don't want, I just like,
that's smart.
Anytime say something went wrong and I have a Maverick logo plastered on my face. I don't know.
Yeah.
Say he got in trouble for not wearing a mask.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, his whole crew and there's the Maverick logo. Like, yeah. I just keep that. This brand, us, this camp, everything is in such good fucking shape right now.
How's the Maverick Club doing?
Phenomenal.
Crazy. Yeah.
And it's the greatest thing of my life.
Really?
It is. I swear to God. So I'm lucky that I'm a creator who actually really does truly appreciate his fans. Like, if you ever met me in real life, It's not like fan meets star. It's like homie meets homie. What's good? Yo, let's take a pic. How you doing?
Yeah.
You happy?
Legit. Like legit.
Like I love these people and I always have.
Uh-huh.
So this club, when I say to people, this is truly like an intimate, special curated experience.
Yeah.
Not only is it intimate because I'm giving you 100% of me, but it is curated. I'm shaping an experience for the members to really get what it's worth. It's $20 a month. It's a subscription service. Mark my words, this will be a model that hundreds of other YouTubers will copy because it's very smart.
Does it feel good to get the content out? Like the stuff that you don't get to use?
That's another thing. So as a creator, it's frustrating to me when I can't put something on YouTube because I'm like, oh, this is like, this might get backlash. This might be perceived wrong. I can't say this. I can't be drunk or high on YouTube.
Yeah.
No, on the Maverick Club, I can't because I know there's, I'm not going to say the number, X amount of people watching who only give thumbs up. There's no negative feedback. That's a community. Awesome. It's a family. I write the emails to the people at the end of each week. I'm giving extensive rounds of notes on the exclusive content.
Yeah.
And it's just a really good place. And I know this is going to sound funny. It's a really good place to be an artist and be a creator and just be me and connect with the people who appreciate me the most.
Yeah.
And I love it. Also, the horses. Everything we do in our real life, I try to make it special for the Maverick Club. We're going to bring out a member to come ride the horses with us at the ranch.
Amazing.
Cool. And,
as well as I think we're going to do like a rollerblading biking trip down Santa Monica Pier.
Yeah.
Like with a group of people. We've been doing like 2 FaceTime calls a day. And as well as the Challenger giveaway, the $10,000 giveaway, the dinner, which I think we're having next week. It's just like a really fucking cool thing. And it's cool to once again be innovating this space in a way that I haven't seen anyone do just yet. If you're not a part of the Maverick Club, by the way, I'm not kidding you. It's one of the fucking coolest things I've ever done. If you fuck with us, if you fuck with this crew, please join. No, don't please join. I am recommending 10 out of 10 would recommend join. Go to maverickclothing.com, scroll to the bottom. You'll see a Maverick Club membership.
I have something to say.
Okay. Is it Maverick Club related?
No.
I was just going to throw in really quickly, just in light of the giveaways of it. It's there's so much stuff being given away in that thing. What are you up to now? Are you doing 10,000 a month?
I've 10,000 a month. Challenger retail 60.
More car, more $10,000. Yep. And then more car.
The horse, the rainbow horse that I painted, that I bought for $8,000 and probably could sell. Probably, I bet I could get 20-30K out of it. Yeah, really,
because it's yours, hand painted. Yep.
And then the horses. There's one more thing.
Horse riding experience.
Yeah. No, not that. I just mean like the stuff you actually get. Like we're gonna start moving towards crazier cars too. It's on the roadmap. Yeah. I mean, it's almost like almost as a pay to enter type thing. Just that alone is the fucking value.
Bro, I was afraid when I started it. You know, there's like the commentary YouTubers who like will laugh and make fun of your ideas or your endeavors on their screen. I was so afraid, like when Jake did Financial Freedom Movement. Yeah. I mean, obviously, like I'm comparing apples to fucking shoes.
Yeah,
but you can compare fruits.
Absolutely, yeah.
But you know, someone always has some shit to say, and everything I've seen about the Maverick Club is like, yo, this is actually a good deal.
Yeah.
From people who don't even like me, like, yo, this is actually a good deal. And I'm like, damn, I think we did.
Dude, we've actually been in trouble on the business side of it because I think we underpriced it.
Look who's calling me right now.
He's probably got some questions for you. Should you take it?
Take it right now?
Yeah, of course.
I was gonna say it was good. Yo, Beast. Let me call you back. I'm on impulsive right now.
You're good. Oh, shoot. Bye.
Bye. Good kid. But
Yo, it'd be cool to get him on the subscription wave.
It'd be cool to bring him back on the show, too.
We got quite the machine going.
I got something to say.
Yeah, what we got?
It's kind of a big deal.
Oh, shit.
I've been...
stealing?
Doing a lot of thinking. Oh. And everything's been going really well in my life lately, and I'm moving out.
I'll be honest, I already knew about this. We've talked about it. So we just lost another one. Another open bedroom, though. If you're out there watching this, join the Maverick Club. We're going to be giving away those bedrooms. You don't actually move in. We're actually going to remove them.
Let me finish.
Sorry.
It's been really awesome here. You know, we've been at this for a long time, and it was a great year. But I can't sleep in the rat box anymore, so I'm moving out of the rat box into the ice box.
But you're staying in the house.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck you.
Oh, bro. You idiot.
My heart is beating really fast. Now. You got to understand. Yo, Max has been my best friend since, like, I'm about to cry. Since I was, like, six. Where are you moving?
Just into the ice box.
David's.
Yeah, it's got a door.
So you're moving from one shoebox to a hot box.
No, it's the ice box.
It's the rat box.
Okay.
Because, you know, the rat on my head.
Yep.
Moving out of the rat box into the ice box, bro, where you kept the German prisoner.
Yeah, that's what happens when you fuck with us. Hey, listen, you know why it's called the ice box? Because there is a vent in the room that pours out sub-Arctic air. Everyone who's lived in that room is unable to cover it. We've tried every single thing.
You guys just aren't engineers like me.
I'm excited to see what your solve. So, because that was my first room.
I'm so ready for
that. I'm pumped. Knowledge. Mine was a piece of Xerox paper or printer paper with duct tape. It fell off the first night, and I never tried it again. I just put jacket. You have to wear jackets in there. It's that cold.
I like sleeping cold, though. It's good for you.
Bro, when you do move out, if you ever do move out, I'd like you to not, you know, like, ideally we have some sort of commune in a nice neighborhood where it's like, there's Mike across the street.
I want to be your neighbor.
There's Mac. Like, bro, that's my ultimate dream and goal. We're all just neighbors.
Yeah.
But like, tell me not on a podcast.
I mean, I had to do that.
Spencer did it.
What, did you believe it? I felt like Spencer today. I had to do that.
I did believe it. But Spencer seemed timed right. Like, let's be honest, we all knew it was coming.
Yeah.
This was
it was a shock.
That was pretty crazy.
You know, I have to say, also kind of going back into our history real quick, we weren't friends from first grade. We were actually mortal enemies.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Logan was the fastest kid in school, but
now the fastest kid on the planet.
Yeah. But see, I was also the fastest kid in school. And we kind of had like a silent rivalry. No one really knew. And then it kind of took to playground races. There was never really a clear winner.
Yo, you have no idea how intense these races were. So there's this big, thick fucking tree.
Huge tree.
What do you say, about 30, 40 yards?
It was 40-yard dash, 40-yard dash.
Yeah,
back.
So you go hit the tree, and then you go sprint back. Mm-hmm. And our what would you call the lady who watches over the kids at the playground?
Like the playground attendant?
She would facilitate the races. So she'd say go, and
that was so cool.
You would smoke everyone, I'd smoke everyone, then, you know, at the end of the 20 minutes, it's Mac versus Logan.
Yeah.
Everyone's gathered around. There's like 50 kids just like cheering us on.
Yep.
And we'd go neck and neck. He'd win some, I'd win some, and for the longest time we hated each other. Like, it was full on. Like, I wanted to bash his skull in. Now he lives in the hot box.
Soon to be the ice box. Yeah. Speaking of the ice box, Dave Portnoy is back in the news. When is he not in the fucking news? This dude, he's got it all figured out.
6'9" is clout. Portnoy is news.
News. Yeah. He lives in the traditional news cycle now. And I obviously love Portnoy. And I'm wearing a pizza related shirt today. He does his pizza time. So this is all about New Haven pizza, the shirt. But Davey Day Trader Global has continued to blow up to a point where you're seeing it covered by actual analysts on MSNBC. Kramer's talking about it because they believe he has activated such a large group of speculative traders that it is influencing the entire market.
So he's pumping it up and on everything.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
He is doing these day trades and with his 1.5 million, you know, followers, I believe on Twitter. And so many of these people are taking part in the moves, which according to Portnoy, the market only goes up. That's his famous saying right now. The market only goes up, which historically is true, but over, over a longer term that true analysts believe that he's building the bubble almost personally. And so, so Buffett infamously a couple months ago made a statement that he was getting out of airlines and cruises.
Yeah.
And he had a massive exit from airlines.
Oh,
Portnoy then said Buffett is what called Buffett washed up. Dave Portnoy called Buffett washed up, which in jest I love as a joke. I love, totally. But I'll say it to Dave straight up right now. You're a couple zeros short on that statement. You're a couple zeros short. I love you, dude. You're great. You're a great guy. You're fun to watch, but it's, you're talking about a fucking icon here, a trading icon. So,
you know, Buffett's doing the same thing on just on the other side of the spectrum.
He he makes money both ways. Yeah, if he sells, he's making money. It doesn't matter what he does. Buffett's going to make money hand over fist.
Yeah.
But what they, what Portnoy's guys, you know, followers call him is the suits.
Yeah.
The suits don't want us to trade this one. They call all the traditional traders the suits.
I love that.
It's so fun to watch, but it's turned into this massive speculative situation because, listen, like the market came back after the first Corona dump. You've seen stocks get back to you know, 26, 27,000 Dow. I'm looking at it right now, 25,763 on Dow today. We're going to dump back off, guys.
Yeah.
This is going to happen. The unemployment numbers are going to fucking are going to continue to grow. Bit, you know, you're going to get chilling numbers from businesses when they report earnings. This thing is going to slam.
Yeah.
I'm on the sidelines waiting for that to happen to buy when there's real blood, you know, I'd love to see a 14,000 Dow so that I could buy everything, you know, but it's just been interesting.
Not very informed on all of these.
Yeah, fuck all of it. Portnoy's in the fucking news for something other than pizza, and it's just fun to watch because he's taking aim at everybody, and they're putting him on the news. He's got a
Logan, how's your 401k doing?
I should be fine right now.
Actually, phenomenal.
Yeah.
My retirement fund is good.
You got stocks and dividends, and
working on stocks.
And
I need to get
you got any put options going?
I don't know
what
you're
saying. No, he's not doing that. No, he doesn't.
I'm just saying
all
the vocabulary I know involving stocks. Okay.
You know what this is similar to, Logan, to bring it back a little bit? People are mad, you know, all these traditional guys are mad that Portnoy is leading all these speculative traders with the way he trades and the way he speaks. Yeah. It feels very similar to the way you and KSI led new boxing fans in.
People hate the idea that a
unconventional,
seemingly less intelligent or a person who is not an expert can do better than you're doing at the thing you're so apparently so
yes,
good at.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And that's exactly what's happening here. And it's funny because you can't hate on him. He's getting, you know, a ton of new attention to trading, and trading's a beautiful thing. And a lot of suits have made money for a long time on it. And I actually believe that there's a chance that my Maverick Club will be trading related potentially. That's, and so I'm looking into it now because I've got obviously friends in the space that have systems set up for it. And I love trading and obviously I'm super into it, but you make a couple trades here and there.
Yeah. I'm not good at them because I trade stocks like I gamble.
Facts.
Which in historically I probably lost 50 to 100K gambling. Some reason, but, I still go back and I do it.
You're about to win. You're about to hit it big next time.
Yeah, which this is weekend. Actually this Friday. Yeah, yeah. We're going to Vegas. Probably gonna walk away with any 100-200K.
More than that.
300K.
I was gonna say M
full
shit.
M. Maybe. Hope I'm. You know.
Just make sure you buy in at the highest limit table. Just start there. You will always win and always.
Well, that's
up.
The thing about gambling. Yeah, as long as you keep playing, eventually you're gonna win. Please, that's a fucking. I have to say, this is a joke. Our sarcasm sometimes stresses me out.
Yeah.
Like, we are fucking pieces of shit. We're sarcastic. Everything we say is a joke. Except, you know, I mean, shit. Portnoy. I love a go against the grain motherfucker.
That's him,
and
bro.
Dave Portnoy is that.
He is, bro.
A go against the grain motherfucker. Is the wide camera down?
Yeah. Really? Whoa.
Should we fix it?
What went wrong?
Let's troubleshoot.
I just wanted to pause and say, no.
We got some technical difficulties. I may let this run. I may.
Why not, dude? I mean, it's...
Let's see if I got anything to think about here.
Do you do photos on Maverick Club?
I thought about that.
Oh, you should.
I thought about doing an OnlyFans for Josie's Toesies.
No.
Justin, bro, she's a top model.
It's not that. You own your own OnlyFans. You'll never do OnlyFans. What you have is an OnlyFans platform of its own. So just put a separate.
Just put my girlfriend's feet in the Maverick Club.
If your girlfriend says no, mine will surely say yes, dude.
I feel like that'd be weird if I'm always like, hey, to your girlfriend, hey, can I get a picture of those toes for my shit?
Okay, we've talked about it the other day. Two different people. Amara cares about one thing. Me. Yep. That's the only thing.
No, you said two things.
No. That's Lana.
Okay.
Amara cares about only one thing. Me. That's it. Nothing else in her life that she cares about. Lana cares only about one thing. Money. That's it. That's the only thing she fucking cares about. She is the imminent hustler, bro. So if you offer a percentage, she'll give you foot shots. And if you think the guys will line up for Maverick Club as a result of it.
It's kind of diluting the
experience.
Identity. Yeah. Where are you going to put it? Where would you?
We have an Instagram at the Maverick Club. Maybe just post them up on there.
Is it private?
That's not, because check us out. If it's private, people will be able to see how many people are in the Maverick Club, and that number
is
confidential.
Top secret.
We cannot. That's a trade secret.
Yeah, not everyone has to follow the club.
That's true. So not everyone is following the club. You want to talk about last night? You want to talk about why we're tired?
Yeah.
Big thing today.
Oh yeah.
We had a scare last night with Broly Blue, King Broly Blue. My Pomsky, 60% Pomeranian, 60% High Siberian Husky, 25% Pomeranian, 10% Samoyed?
100% moron. Cross the fucking board, dude.
So I knew that. And I've had a slew of problems with this dog ever since he was a puppy. He was just being a little shit. Still kind of is. He carried that energy. But he's also the greatest dog in the world. He's a house dog.
He's amazing.
He's a little gem. He loves everyone. Just a sweetheart. And last night, he was a little sick. He threw up. Then he had like a post-throw up and then a post-throw up. So he threw up like three times. I cleaned it up. Broly's been throwing up since he was young.
Yeah.
And I thought nothing of it. Just like, oh, he yacked up dinner. No problem. Something happened. Watched him monitor his body language for a little bit. Seemed fine. Went to sleep. 1:30 a.m. I get a phone call from George, who had called me earlier in the day and was like, hey, can I come to your house? Like, it's going to be kind of late to grab a thumbnail. I need a thumbnail. Calls me at 1:30. He's like, yo, you need to come down here. Your dog's not breathing. He's laying upside down. He's foaming at the mouth. I'm like, holy shit. Wait, really? He's like, yeah, you need to come down here right now. Mind you, I took so many melatonin.
Oh, I gave you so many of those melatonin.
Because I was exhausted. I had the longest day, not been getting good sleep. Exhausted, bro. So I wake up and it's like the Quaalude moment.
Oh, from Wall Street.
From Wall Street.
I'm like, Broly, you're going to be okay. So I'm walking downstairs. I think I'm walking. I could be just like crawling down the stairs.
No, you're
like
floating.
Floating. I'm like this, like floating down the stairs. And I go downstairs and, yo, this dog's upside down. He's on his back. He's foaming at the mouth. Not conscious. You know when you see someone who just got knocked out, they're like, And I'm like, yo, Broly, you good? You good? And he kind of pipes up. He looks at me and it was cool to like connect with him. And he got a little bit of a life and pep in his step, but he's still like upside down. I'm like, all right, I'm like, yo, Bell, call the nearest 24-hour animal hospital. Mm-hmm. And so we find it. We pick up Broly. We get in the car. We speed to this animal hospital. Mind you, it's me, Josie, Bell, Justin, and George driving incredibly fast. Cause I hate to say this. I wasn't sure if this dog was going to live. He's on my lap. My first dog, DOG, has died in my arms before, and he's just like paralyzed in my arms, and we're keeping him awake, and he's just like foaming him out doing this, whatever. Here's one thing I also know about Broly. Like you said, he's dumb. He's also overdramatic.
Same as Kong. same exact thing as Kong.
Bro, I've like watched him like kind of like maybe get hurt a little bit, and this dude's out for 2 hours. Like he's a baby, but his body language was telling me this dog's in some serious trouble. So we're gonna take every necessary step to make sure he's okay. Yeah. So, bro, I show up to this animal hospital. My shirt's ripped. I'm fucking bleeding across my chest. I'm not even in shoes. My pants are off.
Broly's above my head.
I run in. I go, take this dog. It's an emergency. The nurse comes running out. She grabs him. She runs back. I'm like, no. That's what I thought happened. In my head, that's exactly
how it happened.
Oh, okay. It must have been the Quaalude juice.
I need to reiterate. I'm fucked up. I'm delirious.
And so is Josie too.
We're just not in good shape. It turns out all I did was walk in, and the nurse was running. That was a movie scene. The nurse came out. She's like, "What's wrong?" We're like, he may have like drank something, like a toxic chemical. I don't fucking know, but he's been throwing up, whatever. He's not moving. Whatever. Nurse runs back. I'm like, this is it. Next thing you know, I'm filling out this paperwork alone in the lobby. Just movie scene, just alone in the lobby. It's 2:33 a.m.
The music.
I said, what the fuck just happened? And I got to give a thank you to George Janko. I had this thought. I said, this may have been why God put George in my life.
Because, to save your dog, right?
Bruh,
last night.
Bro, he came over at 1:30 a.m. to get a thumbnail.
So bizarre.
My front door was locked. He was leaving. He was going to go home. He goes, you know what? I'm gonna check the studio. Studio happened to be unlocked. Jake Broido left it open. It's his room. He happened to unlock it that night. Walked through, walked in, sees Broly and gives me a call. Thank God. Bro, when I'm holding his dog, I was like, it was one of the scariest moments of my life. And I'm sitting outside the animal hospital, and George is, again, great friend to have in this situation, because he didn't just tell me, yo, your dog's hurt, and then leave. He's like, your dog's fucked up. I'm going to drive you to the hospital.
Nice.
Drove us all there. And then while we're sitting outside, he's telling jokes, lightening the mood, and just like making me feel better. But I was going in and out of spurts of like panic.
Yeah.
Oh, like, oh my God, what am I? Sure. This was a thought I was having. I can say it now. I didn't say it last night because I didn't want to put the energy in the air. But like, I was having this thought of just this fucking sweet, sweet animal dying in an animal hospital with no one that he loves around him. Mm-hmm. That breaks my heart. And so I'm going in and out of these bits of panic, and George is doing his best to alleviate the mood. Josie's like, hey, we should have them drive us back to the house so then they can go home and go to sleep and we can come back. And so we did that, dropped them off, said thank you to George and his squad, came back in the Yeti, and here Josie and I are at 3:30 a.m. outside of an animal hospital eating Jack in the Box.
Oh, nice. Good call. Solid.
Like, what the fuck?
So you guys could be the next people in the hospital.
Right? Yeah. Just eating Jack in the Box, like just pigs. And they call us. They're like, yeah. And this is why I say Broly's overdramatic. They're like, yeah, nothing's like we're really wrong with him. Like, his vitals seem good. We're monitoring. Do you want us to get an X-ray? I'm like, absolutely anything. Just like get it done. Like, they're like, okay, something might be blocking like a passageway. There might be something in his stomach. They call me after the X-ray. There's a little foreign fluid in his stomach, but there's nothing blocking his passageway, and he's actually like doing fine. And so I'm like, fuck, what the fuck?
You know why this happened, right? Remember what happened when you got the bird? Broly got a little jealous.
Oh.
You just got two new horses. If you don't think Broly's trying to stake his claim of your attention.
This is the easier way to do it, man.
He had to be more smart.
He is a poet. He's definitely overdramatic. Let me drink this. Possibly the mop water.
No, he probably didn't even drink anything. It probably was just his average fluid. I will say this. He could have just been exactly doing that.
Yeah.
I don't want to scare you. And I'm going to tell you something serious right now. I'm being dead serious. You may or may not want to hear this. The reason why I was listening so intently to that story from you is because I've been through that exact thing before with my dog, TT, who was my last dog, a fox terrier like Finian Henry.
Yeah.
And one day I was at my grandfather's house and she went down.
Yeah.
She went down. She was unconscious. Her eyes were just opening a little bit, looking at me. Quite literally one of the scariest moments of my entire life.
Yeah,
and I held her in my arms as we rushed to the animal hospital. She got blood drawn. Mm-hmm. They said, we trotted out of the waiting room, was absolutely fine. They said, we can't find anything wrong with her at all. She's absolutely fine. We got in the car. We went back to my grandfather's house. The next day, my grandfather died. So they were inseparable best friends.
So who's gonna die? And why would you say that?
I know. I told
pretty
you.
Dark.
I know.
So you're saying the dog felt
they were best friends,
I believe that.
It's a thing. Well, it's a thing. Sure. It's a whole thing. People say that dogs are able to predict earthquakes, whatever, and so. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't have told you the fucking story, but maybe do a round of calls to random strangers in the world and that you may have once. Yeah, I don't know. Warn them. Fuck.
No, bro, it's just like you feel a certain type of way after this whole night. Like you're not sure if your dog's going to live.
Yeah.
They call you, tell you he's fine. They open the door and Broly comes out, sees me. He's like,
So weird, bro.
This is the weirdest. It was the weirdest thing ever. But thank God he's okay. Thank God he's okay.
Yeah.
Because we're sitting outside, and I'm like, I'm kind of like breaking down a little bit. I'm trying to laugh at George's jokes, and he's like, "Oh, you good?" I'm like, "Yo, you all know this. I have the worst luck with some of my best pets."
Mm-hmm.
And
he's kind of like a cat dog, right? We know that. So how many lives does he have left?
Broly.
Yeah.
I think he's got seven left. He's two.
Seven?
Two of them
seven
gone.
More?
Yeah, he's like all a right. cat. Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, thank God he's okay. Quite an eventful night. Some other stuff happened.
I'm so tired.
I'll talk about it in the Maverick Club.
Yeah. one question I have for you guys today. I wrote this last night. I finished my entire notepad, filled the whole thing. You guys are both in interesting relationships right now. And one thing I've seen in my life is that it's become easier to give love, but hard to accept when someone is, you know, looking to love you. How have you guys adapted to like receive love? Because you're like both pretty arm's distance when it comes to deep emotions, or have been arm's distance.
I'm actually good at receiving love.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten much better at giving love. That's been my like improvement over the past 3 years, like giving the people who show me love the love back.
Mm-hmm.
Just reciprocating. I have no problem being loved. I have a problem with compliments. I'm not good at taking compliments.
I feel like they probably fall into a similar basket.
Yeah, maybe. You know? maybe just like a part of the whole.
Yeah, I'm the same way with that. I'm terrible at both, to be honest with you, at both. You know, I don't do a good enough job showing, you know, physical affection and
you complimenting. Got a little trouble with that, huh? Want to talk about it?
I mean, we can really quickly. Logan and Josie are rightfully, since they're in honeymoon period times two, the second time around, because they had a little break. So I think you go honeymoon again. Honeymoon period, they're overly affectionate. They're super touchy feely. Like they're always like, we went out to catch, and I meant to even have this conversation with you. It almost like makes it hard for me to go out with you guys because you're at a 4-person table. It's me and Amar, which is fine. And we can do the both couples having their side things, mm-hmm. but they'll just look at each other with like the spaghetti hanging out of each other's mouths, like the whole time, the entire dinner, which is a beautiful thing. I'm not knocking it. I love it. But at what point do we just like go to dinner separately?
Yeah.
Because I'm sitting there and, you know, me and Mar are 7 months in. So we're always, you know, like, yo, stop fucking eating like that. What the fuck? Why are you eating like that? And she's like, well, look at you. You farted at the table. Like we're at that point where it's, you know, where you get. And it's all fun. It's all fun. But we knock each other. And so we're both sitting there and I'm sitting there like this. And Amar's, you know, with her fork like this, just looking at him. And there's like, my schnookie boogie wookie wookie woo woo. I want a tookie tookie with you with the booba doobie booby. And we're at catch and there's other people. And all right, so anyways, he goes, I don't do that. So anyways, which is all fine. I have no issue with it. But what happens is Amara sees it and she says to me, how come you don't call me your schnookie looky ookie ookums and buy me horses? I'm like, I bought you a fucking Louis bag. Which one would you rather? You don't even have anywhere to put a horse. You have a penthouse apartment in Beverly Hills where you do tie it up outside to a fire hydrant. You got a Louis. She goes, I want to ride the horse with my Louis bag. Go ride me with the Louis bag. It's cheaper. We'll go on a vacation or some shit. Cut the shit. But she gives me shit because she's like, look at them. And I was like, yo, they're fucking weeks in. They're weeks in. Of course they're going to be like that. And I went up to him because I hadn't slept, hadn't ate again. This was yesterday. I'm like, yo, can you guys, for the love of God, just fucking chill out for 5 seconds? And they were both like, nah, man. And then I sat down at the dinner table. I was like, who am I to fucking tell? Love the shit out of each other. You know, you never know when it's all going to go away. So, you know, in life. So just fucking, if you got them, love them to the max. And so that brings me back to where I'm at. It makes me slightly uncomfortable because I'm not so good at it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so good at it. And so it's something I think that I need to work through and, you know, from a time standpoint, as well as a therapy standpoint. I mean, yeah. I have a lot of, obviously a lot of baggage and trauma from the past related to a million things. And I don't think I ever got super good at either giving or receiving love. I've always kind of been like, yo.
Yeah. But you've like finally let someone into your life, which is a little massive.
Yeah. Yeah. Good step.
You know, improvement.
Yeah. Like, technically, you and Amara even making it this far is like somewhat of a miracle.
Massive, bro. Especially now at the height of my not the hype, but like at the highest I've been from a fame standpoint because of the book and all that other shit and this podcast and the vlogs getting millions and millions of views, like all that shit. You would think like now would be the time where I would get swayed to not want to be in a relationship because there's so, it appears that there'd be so much else out there, which there's not. I'm aware of that. You know what I'm saying? I'm aware of how fucking good I have it, but yeah, it's been interesting trying to get to that point, you know, and learn about myself. But I think I need some therapy, dude, for sure.
That's a question for you.
Yeah.
I just like, I haven't seen you like intimate or in love or being given love in a while.
I'm really focused on what I'm doing right now. I'm like diving headfirst in the business I'm starting. Really focused on almost always on creation. Kind of talked about this yesterday in my live stream, but I'm putting all my time and effort into like the organization of building something bigger for myself. And I feel like it's really important for me to do that right now, just to get it done and kind of solidified in a way that I can manage it and then be able to take time away from it. So I can spend time with someone else who's willing and capable of understanding that one of my main focuses in life is to make this business the biggest I can possibly make it. So I'm more so not letting anyone else into my life so that I am not
distracted.
It's not that I'm not distracted. It's that I'd be incapable of giving them everything that they would need in a relationship in order to want to still be with me.
I was like that for a while, for a really long time. I totally get what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Bro, your life, your career, your goals are obviously very important to you, as they are respectively for everyone in the world. Mm-hmm. And so it's actually very mature of you to realize that you're not 100% able to give yourself or devote yourself to a person.
I'm just not emotionally available. Yeah, and I recognize that. But, it's like, of course, it's nice to have someone you can like confide in and tell your deepest, darkest secrets to and open up to and just be loving and caring with. But yeah, I don't know. I'm very patient with that kind of thing. I wait for someone that is as perfect as they can be for the time being to walk into my life.
That's it. What you just said is the perfect point of all of it. It's a timing thing. Love is significantly based on timing because what you need right now and the best thing you could find would be a girl who is similarly exhausted from trying to reach her goals in life and has so like it's all about finding the right size key for the right size lock. If you find a girl who has about 10% of her time to give to a relationship, dedicate to a relationship, and you have about 10% of yours, you have a perfect situation.
Absolutely.
See you every Friday night for a little bit, every Wednesday we'll talk on the phone for 20 minutes a day, we'll talk about some deep dark shit. That's one of the reasons why me and Amara's has been a little bit difficult at times, because I'm very much closer to where you are and she's very much closer to where he is. She's financially set. She's got 11 million followers. She could post a titty and make a house. Like literally she's got it all fucking figured out. Yeah. I'm closer to building my first notepad still.
Yeah.
You know, I'm obviously somewhere in the middle. I've got a book and all that stuff, but I'm still very much grinding. Mm-hmm. And so she wants 90% relationship. I got about 50 to give. And so I've been trying to close the gap and it's interesting. You can make it work. It'll work. What I really have to do and what she wants me to do more than anything is catch up to her. Because if I can catch up to her, then we got no problem. So now she's trying to push me into stand up. She's like, what's the next step so that you go from $100,000 deals to multi-million dollar deals and you could catch up and we could have a life where we don't have to fucking.
I told you this after our last trip at the ranch when George came out and he was being like the funniest version of himself I've ever seen. It struck me so hard that this dude needs NEEDS to be doing stand up comedy.
Yeah.
George Janko, stand up comedy. If he just reroutes his energy, a little bit of it to perfecting that craft, this dude is going to be so good in 10 years. I told him, if you get, he's got what it takes. If he starts selling out, or he could start selling out stadiums. Like Sebastian Maniscalco type shit. That dude is a G, and they're very, very similar. They're
he's so animated,
mannerisms, and the way they tell their jokes and their beats and their comedy. So every day since the ranch trip to this day, it's about a week and a half ago, I've texted George every single day, and I said reminder to do stand up comedy. I'm actually shooting him this text right now. What I'm saying is I could do that for you if you'd like.
No, because Amara already does it every fucking day. She's like, just write a routine.
you'll blow up fucking immediately because you've got millions of fucking fans.
And you're funny.
And well,
and
it's,
you have
it's
amazing stories to tell that are hilarious.
Hilarious.
Yeah, I just have to channel it properly. And everybody knows, like, one thing, George, I don't know if he deals with it all, but I have anxiety. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And like new places and new things. But that's how life is. That's how life is. And until similarly to the way that the show was for me, mm-hmm. I wrote about this in the book. Like the first day I came on the show, dude, and that happened with the sex lady, the sex therapist. When I had that anxiety attack.
It'll happen. Your first show. It's going to happen. Jokes about you having an anxiety attack. Just, and like sweating in my armpits and just like include it into your routine. We know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
That happened in the
Just like MTV.
Sink into it. Lean into it. Andre, I got that term from Andre. Lean into that shit, dude. Like use that.
Yeah.
What do you guys,
it's much easier said than done. Anxiety is no fucking, like, it's quite crippling. But let's give it a shot.
No. It's definitely, I mean, dude, if you're like, that's such a, like used approach right now to use your vulnerabilities and shit on yourself.
Bro,
shitting on yourself is hot as fuck right now.
Eminem, 8 Mile.
Yeah, facts.
What are you guys doing Thursday night?
Hanging out.
Should we do like a little stand up thing? You know how we used to set up the.
He's gone all week. We're traveling all week.
Yeah, crazy week.
All over the place. We'll get there. I've been telling her. I'm like, just slow down. You don't have to fucking tell me the other day. I got a million other things going on. And she, we'll get there.
That's you know how you're always running around the ranch thinking about things to do and what should you do next? I was thinking maybe you should start writing, talking about long format content ideas.
Writing's great, dude.
I will eventually. Yeah. I just don't have time. I'm maxed out in what I'm doing right now. I will be doing this wave of vlog, Maverick Club, podcast, building the business behind the scenes for another 2-3 years.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to start slowly shifting my energy to a bit more really strategic, hard-hitting, traditional shit.
Cool.
Like, I had this thought the other day. Seth Rogen puts out a movie every X years. Jordan Peele, every X years. And they're Jordan fucking Peele. It's like one of their masterpieces. It's awesome pieces of work that they put a lot of time and energy to. And eventually, hopefully, I'll be the same way where I could just really zone into a project and it pops off. I miss, like, when was the last Seth Rogen movie? I'm ready for another.
Mm-hmm. I think he has one coming out where he's like, he goes back in time, and he's his own grandpa or something.
Yeah, like I don't know. Eventually, when I get a little older and I don't necessarily want to be vlogging, I'll always be making videos till I die. I came out the womb with the G7X in my hand saying, what's up, little gang? And
we need another mid form. I know stand up for me. Yeah. Like I'm always like, hey man, we need another flat earth. I so badly want to write. I have a million ideas on the cartoon side that I've talked to you about that I haven't started to explore.
Cartoons. I love cartoons.
Yeah.
There's got to be something. That,
like, we have three killers. Create,
like the next Rick and Morty type shit.
Well, the one could be interesting if I start working on it.
You guys need to watch The Midnight Gospel. It's on Netflix right now. It's by a guy named Duncan Trussell.
Why did I hear about this?
I was watching it the other night. I don't know. Logan, you walked in while I was watching it. It is colorful. It is zany. It's deeply esoteric and mind expanding.
It looks psychedelic. It looked like I was tripping on mushrooms.
Highly psychedelic. Yeah. I mean, dude, it's like riddled with symbolism and like just brilliance, really. It's such a cool show. Huh. You love it. It is all over the place too, in the best way.
Yeah, I like to confuse my mind for sure. I like to cripple it a little bit with things that don't make sense.
But the part that makes it so coherent is that the dialogue that's happening is from like a podcast format. So it was recorded like this, and they just animated it.
What?
Like, so they recorded a conversation similar to this, and then the animations that are going on around are. There's like bits and parts where like story points are added in through the conversation.
Wow.
But dude, it's revolutionary.
I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah, there's 8 episodes right now. I think maybe the second season. I don't know. But I watched the whole thing in a day.
How long have we been going?
Hour 22. I was three minutes off.
Yeah, it was close. We'll cut it there. Meeting Jose Canseco later this week should be good. Should be interesting. The home run hitter. He seems great.
He's going to be awesome. He seems
great. Talked to him on the phone. Had a little preliminary meeting.
Did you figure out what you're gonna say to him first?
Probably, hey, do I call him Jose or Mr. Canseco? Now that I'm an adult, too.
Mr. Jose.
Slugger.
Mr. Jose? Yeah. What's up, Slugger?
Hey, Slugger.
That's disrespectful. Which, seriously, what do I call? In high school, it was Mr.
Yeah. And then he
can be like, Danny, I'm 25 years old. I would still do that. I'm an adult.
Hey there, Mr. Canseco.
If it's
call me Jose.
Oh,
that's what's gonna happen.
And then that's when he breaks your hand.
I think you should call Mr. Jose Canseco. I think you should do all three of them. Yes, and ask him from a querying standpoint.
A rock quarry?
No, like a question, like a quarry.
Can you point me to the nearest rock quarry?
No, I don't want to. But like, ask him like this. Ask him like this. Good to meet you, Mr. Jose Canseco. Like, ask him from a questioning standpoint.
You don't know who
yes.
No.
Jose Canseco, right?
Dude, biggest fan. You played on the A's, right? Oh my God.
Okay.
That's it. That's all we got. I felt like today was a good fucking episode. Thanks for listening. Yeah. Hit that subscribe button. Join the Maverick Club, maverickclothing.com. Scroll to the bottom. You see all the good stuff. And we love you. See you in the next episode of Pause. Peace.
I'm emotionally available, but I still love you.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.